I can't let go to freeze. Lonely, lonely. I can feel you, I can feel you, I can hear you, I can feel you, cause love don't stink, love don't stink, love don't stink like the cops. And I hear my kind in the cold freeze. I hear my kind in the cold freeze. Lonely, lonely, lonely.
I threw Elvis's cigarettes at him when I got in the house.
The fuck took you so long?
He asked in a tone of voice that bordered on actual concern. I got pulled over like 50 times picking up your fucking cigarettes, I said in a tone of voice that held no concern at all.
Oh, I'll pull you over.
It didn't make any damn sense, but I understood he was trying to be sexy. I spent a good half hour ripping into him from every possible angle. When the anger over the police incident cleared, I reminded myself that he had lied to me about his dad dying. When I was no longer angry about that, I remembered how he had laughed at my cock. He wasn't laughing now. He was as into it as I was. It was one of those moments when I was grateful not to have a headboard because it would have just shattered against the wall. Jack and Gabrielle were in some far-off galaxy. I didn't know whether they were home or not. I didn't care. I wanted to be loud, physical, and angry. We're talking spanking, hair pulling, all those French vanilla sex practices that the violent and uncreative get into. I even did a little nibbling. Arrgh! That was creepy. The next thing I knew, it was morning. The last morning. Rex was already awake and rifling through one of my closets.
Where's your disc man?
Sometimes I'm a calculating bastard. He had asked about borrowing my Discman as soon as he found out he'd be bussing it home. At the time, my Discman was in my car, the Black Bee, hooked up to my stereo system. Since that time, I had removed it to the safety of the theater. He was not getting my Discman. He tore up the house looking for it. He even went into the attic. He eventually settled for the Walkman Unharry had fixed a scant 8 months ago, along with a bunch of crappy tapes I didn't want anyway. We had several hours before I had to drive him to Boston, and not a lot to talk about. He told me that he planned on coming back, so I mockingly suggested he leave his PlayStation. He balked. We made sure absolutely everything that was his was in the car. Well, I was checking to make sure absolutely none of my stuff was in his stuff. He decided to take a much-needed bath before his long bus trip. While he was getting ready to bathe, I was chatting with Tommy as a whore. Tommy said that Rex had been IMing him and talking about hanging out when Rex returned from some Carolina. Apparently, Rex assumed that Tommy as a whore was big gay Tom, and not a somewhat ingratiating piece of pot-headed jailbait. Tommy was amused because Rex had been spewing his yarns about the model agency to him. Of course, Tommy knew I was neither modeling material nor a modeling agent. He's singing the fucking Backstreet Boys while the tub fills, I said.
Another bath? Is it September already?
Apparently, Tommy typed.
You know, you should really start doing something special to celebrate driving that asshole out of your life.
Such as?
Take me out to dinner?
Is Chuck E. Cheese open on school nights?
Fine. I'll pay for dinner.
So, McDonald's then?
You know, I'm trying to be nice to you. I know you're in snark mode and don't really want to be cruel, but if you keep this shit up, I'm going to...
While we were chatting, Rex came in, naked and not yet wet. He wanted one more romp time. I was no longer angry at the world. I had a sort of detached resentment lust thing going on. So be it. I rolled my chair around and he climbed on top of me, moaning and grunting like the drunkest frat boy on the tilt-a-whirl. After about 20 minutes, we were both spent and messy. We decided to bookmark our relationship by showering together. This time, the purpose would be to get clean. There was a slight snafu, though. Rex had left the water running during our escapades. Intentional? Probably not. Frustrating? Hell yes. The bathroom had about a half inch of standing water, and the hallway carpeting near the bathroom door was drenched. I used up all the towels, sponges, and paper towels in the house to get it dry. Rex showered alone for about 10 minutes before the thought of angry sex pulled me into the bathroom, him out of the shower and onto the floor, and me onto him. This fuck was all about me.
Stop talking to you. For real, though. If you want to go out tomorrow, let me know. I miss hanging out with you, and you probably shouldn't be alone after Rex leaves. I don't want you to do anything stupid, like spending the day drinking and writing bad poetry. Hello? I can't believe you're ignoring me. If I wanted you to ignore me, we'd be dating. Or maybe I'd have a sex change operation. Would that turn you on? Your fuck buddy or whatever you call him is kind of girly. Well, give me a call if you want to do something later.
I was born a child of rape. Never knew my parents, though I had a close encounter involving phone calls from my biological father when I was 14. It's not the sort of thing I think about every day of my life, but when it digs its way out of my subconscious and into my life, it colors every thought I have. I'm balls deep in a guy who has caused me nothing but frustration for weeks. I don't love him. I don't even like him. At this very moment, I hate him more than I hate anyone else in the world. Is this rape? Rewind. While we're fucking in a chair, he has the tub running. Noah is in the bathroom putting two of every type of medication in a soap dish arc when I turn the faucet off. I mop up the floor with assorted types of towels and washcloths. Rex never apologizes. Doesn't help. When everything's dry again, he just gets in the shower. I have loaded the washing machine and am in my room actively being frustrated. If I'd had any fingernails left, I'd be biting them. Rex starts singing something NSYNC-ish. I mockingly yell at him to shut up. He starts singing louder. I rush into the bathroom and... somewhere between my bedroom and the bathroom, roughly 10 feet. I have gone from mock angry to actually seething. Everything I let go of last night is back with a "he flooded the bathroom" cherry on top. I remember how good last night felt, and I want that feeling back. Rex is the only one who can give that feeling back to me. In a few hours, I will be literally driving him away from me. It's now or never. Is this rape? No. Rape is no, no, oh God, no. Or silent tears or violence or someone not active in the sex. Fucking Rex is yes, yes, oh God, yes. With bad porn line commands, his body pushing into mine. This is rough bathroom floor. I can't grip his body because he's soaked from the shower. Water is beating against the wall of the empty tub. My heart is playing pinball and the ball is trying to bust out of my skull sex. 5 minutes into it, Rex says, "Don't!" Everything freezes. This is where the camera pans around Matrix style. I see this moment from every possible angle, and he says, "Don't! Slow down!" But is it "don't slow down" or "don't slow down"? "Don't slow down! I'm gonna come!" Reality is restored. We both explode. The bathroom floor is a mess again, but this time, I'll only need one towel. This isn't Waterloo, but I've sent my personal demons to Elba for a while. Time speeds up. Rex's bus is at ridiculous o'clock in the morning. Rather than leave it to chance that we'll miss it, I decide to drive us up there early. It's roughly an hour and a half from my house to the bus station. I'm a speeder. I try and keep within 10 miles of the speed limit when I think there's cops around, but when I feel safe and the highway is straight enough, 85 seems like a reasonable speed. It's about how fast I was going when I noticed the flashers. Shit! License and registration. 4 minutes pass in silence while the officer runs my plates. Rex looks at his nails. The officer comes back laughing.
rough night last night?
I wasn't sure how to respond.
I think you suffered enough for your sins last night. I'm going to let you off with a little advice. Slow down and get that headlight fixed first thing Monday morning. And he walked away.
Rex looked at me like Jesus had stopped over the house for some cookies on the way to the second coming. What was that about?
It's a long story.
We drove for about 45 minutes when I realized I was falling asleep. Rex had been asleep since about 5 minutes after I was pulled over, so I got off on the next exit ramp, pulled into a supermarket parking lot, and fell asleep. When I woke up, my car was surrounded by hundreds of police officers. Sleep ebbed away, maybe not hundreds. In fact, there were only six. Four cars, six officers. Rex was still passed out in the passenger seat. I opened the door, slowly. Hello? If one were to take a picture of me at this point, I'd guess that my eyes comprised about 85% of my face. Until that weekend, I'd never had a run-in with a police officer, and now, well, shit.
You okay, son?
Officer One asked. Yes, is something wrong?
They're trying to sweep the parking lot,
Officer One pointed to a street sweeper vehicle. Officers 5 and 6 sighed and returned to their vehicles.
Said they tried knocking on your windows, but then neither of you would wake up. Thought you were dead.
No, definitely not dead. Tired.
I was driving to the bus station, and I started to fall asleep,
so I pulled in here to rest.
Okay, well, as long as you move your car out to the side of the lot that they've already swept, you're welcome to go back to sleep.
I don't think that's going to be possible for a while, I said. What's wrong with your friend there? He hasn't moved since we got here, asked another officer. Rex? No answer. Rex! Rex! I leaned into the car and shook him, sneaking in a pinch that I hoped the officers didn't see. What the fuck? I'm tired! These officers thought we were dead. Dead? What? He finally looked up and around. God, where are we? Were we in an accident? Officers 3 and 4 left. Nope, we're fine. I thanked the officers, answered a few more questions, and filled in Rex as they drove away. Then, I started the car and drove the rest of the way to Boston. Summer happened so quickly. Ryan, stranger after stranger, Tommy, kidney stones, Elvis, my foot to the accelerator to get rid of him, everything too fast to register, 75, trees, strip mall, trees, real mall, 85, trees, exit sign, construction, 90, trees, cop car, 70, the way Elvis grew distant before we were ever close, trees, exit sign, trees. What's that? Elvis asked. Exit sign. It's a restaurant. Trees. The hilltop. The Boston City skyline. We should stop there. Trees. Exit sign. 85. It's almost 3 in the morning. They're closed. 80. His hand on my thigh. But I'm hungry. His hand in mine. Trees. 80. His hand dropped back in his lap. 85. 75. Water tower. 70. Strip mall. 65. 60. He turns his head away. 55. Buildings. 50. Billboards. 45. Billboards. 40. Exit sign. 35. Turn. Ramp. South Station. I parked at the curb, but did not take the key out of the ignition. Aren't you going to park the car and wait with me? No. I did not say, because I don't like you. I said, I'm really tired, and I need to get home and go to sleep. I've got work tomorrow. He shrugged. Okay. And I was back on the traffic light, on-ramp, highway, 72, steady, 72, buildings, exit ramp, it was the right thing, water tower, he didn't, kidney stones deserve anything better, buildings, everything about him was an exit ramp, 72, everything about him was a billboard, lie, 72, trees, cop car, trees, 72, trees, steady, back over the bridge, trees, back to 72, home, no more roommates, no more cop car crises, trees, exit ramp, there was a bicycle parked in my space sideways, I was nearly tired enough to hit it, nearly tired enough to collapse into a 72 coma. I moved the bike to the grass and parked my car. Inside was a note from Jack.
Sorry to have missed you. We're going to be spending a few days with Gabrielle's aunt in P-Town. Hope you have a nice relaxing time without your roommate. You've earned it. I'll give you a call if we have time to stop on our way back. Jack.
Sweet. Peace. I walked up the stairs to the No More Elvis-filled shower, decided I was too tired to care what I smelled like, how hot I was, tossed my clothes on top of the washer, and walked into my bedroom. Ryan was curled up in my bed. I rubbed my "please let this all have been some horrible nightmare" eyes. Ryan? He didn't budge, but he was, are you fucking kidding me, breathing. Ryan? I was about to have a nervous breakdown, stirred.
Tommy? Figured you might need some company after your de-lousing.
I was entirely too tired to make any sense of why he was in my bed, how he got inside my house.
I was, like, waiting on the back porch when I noticed that the sliding glass door was open.
I'd enjoy talking to him on instant message and everything, but I... Fuck this. I was 72, tired. I had no choice but to kiss him, to lay myself down next to him and let him wrap his arms around me while I finally fell asleep. I knew I'd regret this in the morning, if the morning ever came.
The carbonation in my drink, the bubbles rise while my heart sinks, and all I tend to do is think of you.
You've been listening to the In Safe Mode podcast, All My Exes Live In Sex Flicks, the final episode of The Golden Age of Sodomy, Part 6, Driving Elvis Out of My Life, brought to you by crumbling used tissues on the center console in the car, so that when the cops pull you over for speeding, you can claim you have allergies or you're really sad and are driving to a funeral. The intro music for today's episode was We Hate You, Please Die by Crash and the Boys. Incidental music included Do Something by Macy Gray and Shipping Up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys, because if I don't include the Dropkick Murphys at least once in the history of this podcast, my Boston/Cambridge citizenship gets revoked. The outro music, which you are listening to now, is the Lumineers, The Morning Song. If you have any questions about this podcast, or you'd like to know how to get your hands on an actual copy of All My Exes Live In Sex Flicks in print, please check out my website, www.crookedtreehouse.com, or I suppose you could email me at insafemode@gmail.com.
I'm really sorry. I have really bad allergies. If you let me go, I'll just get back to podcasting on a regular basis. Oh God, I'm really sorry. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
All the kids that you hold. And it it's a shame that it ends this way, with nothing left to say. So just sit on your hands while I walk. My hands begin to shake, when bitterness is all I taste, and my car won't stop, 'cause I cut the brakes. I hold on to a hole in my face.